Aleichem. Welcome, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Yisrael. Let me mention that we mourn with sadness, mark with sadness, the passing of Rav Moshe Yosef Nechemya Eisenstadt, the father of our dear friend, Yisrael Eisenstadt, who wished him and his entire family a Nechama B'Shtar Avei Leitzion Yerushalayim. This week's parasha, of course, has Matan Torah, and the three parashot for this week will all focus on Perek Yutes, the parak which deals with Matan Torah. Let's start from Perek Yutes plus Agalos. The Chodesh HaShlishi would take the Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, the Yenazer, Ba'u Midbar Sinai. The Pasuk tells us that in the Rosh Chodesh Devin, the Yid came to Har Sinai. The word Ba'yayim HaZer is extra, and therefore Rashi brings what has become the famous Maim of Hazal, that the words Bayayim HaZeh teach you Sheyiu Devei Torah Chadoshim Olecha Kilu Hayayim Dinu, that a person's job is Avoda, is that the words of Torah should be fresh to him and new to him every day, as if Hayayim HaZeh, the day on which it was given, so that the day of Matan Torah should be Hayayim HaZeh forever for all of us. It should be, today should be like the day the Torah was given. It should be Chadosh, it should be new in our eyes. Question is that that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. It doesn't say Hayayim HaZeh regarding the day of the giving of the Torah. It's talking about the days prior to the giving of the Torah. And therefore, the Torah wanted to hint to us that the Torah should be, in our eyes, new and fresh every day like the day it was given. You should say Hayayim HaZeh on the day of the giving of the Torah. Why is it here? In the Targum Yo, page 1991, on the discussions, we find this question and a beautiful answer. Now, Shor's answer is that the job of having the Torah be new in your eyes is not on the giving of the Torah. Hachonah Torah Leos be his conscience, the preparation, the giving of the Torah, the preparation for learning Torah. That is to which a person goes to learn Torah. That needs to be his conscience. The Nishal HaTayr should teach him as his hachana, the Tayr of his passion. The trick in being successful in learning is how you go to learn. You go to Yisrael, you go to learn, you go with enthusiasm. Or some people, they sit down to learn, they slouch back in their chair. Gemara barely open. They come a minute late or schmoozing at the beginning of the Daf Yomi Shir. And then they don't understand why afterwards they're not interested. Well, of course, they missed the Gemara's original statement. Then they're lost. Now they think they're not lost, they think they're following. But the lack of interest comes from the fact that they really do not at all have any depth of understanding of what's going on. It's important that the hachana be right. You go to a shir, make sure you're listening attentively from the very first minute. That's the hachana is the start directly. If you're about to go into shul, go in before you walk in. Think, which paper am I going to pull out? What paper am I going to look into? Don't walk in and then slouch around and think, what am I going to do? What will I learn? Prepare. This is the estate of Rav Shor. In Pasuk Beis, we have a Vitziv who teaches us the same exact lesson, but not from Pasuk Aleph, as Rav Shor did, but from Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, the Yisrael Meretz Yidin, the volume in verse 9, which was less risky than the previous place of and they erupt at Midbar Sinai. The Rashi there says, why does it repeat a Yisrael Meretz Yidin? To tell you the following message. Not be Yisrael Midbar Sinai the Tshuva, it's the Yisrael Meretz Yidin the Tshuva. Just as when they came to Har Sinai, it was a bright attitude, an attitude of Tshuva from the previous misdeeds. So too, when they left for Yidin, they left with that attitude. And it says in his Hamik Sofer, asks why this is important. Why does it really matter that they left receiving already with the attitude of Kabbalah Satira? Minus Kanina. He says the same idea. He says, in his language, it's called Abish Mikdusha. Asha'ah, the nation asked by Yisr Lazar, how all of Yisr Hashem Lazar, regarding anything that's holy, according to the preparation that a person puts into the Dabrish of Exclusion, the item of holiness, how a love, you know, he's been actually alarm of the sound of the shofar that was heard at Matan Torah. And here, Rashi tells us something of interest. The Mishaihai Olden, with the call of the shofar, Rashi says, which shofar was this? Shofar Shel Eloi Shel Yitzchakai. This was the shofar that was on that ram. The ram that was offered by Yitzchak at the Akedah. So, Chesal said that every part of that ram was used for something good. The cords of the harp of David HaMelech came from the sinew of this animal. The shofar at Matan Torah came from the horn of this animal. The Rabban asks the question. He says, one minute. The ayil was the ram at the Akedah was burnt. It was sacrificed and burnt in place of Yitzchak. How could we say this shofar from there in that aisle was destroyed, was burnt? The Maral, writing on regarding this Rambam, says, "I tama al harambam. V'chi adam ba'olam shesmei b'shay yeshayfer azeh shayfer tivi." I wonder about this Rambam. Is there anybody in the world that thinks that this shayfer was physically the same shayfer as the aisle of Yitzchak? This is the question of the Mara. I mentioned this Ramban and Maral, not so much for the question of where this shofar originated from, but more for the study of a shita in Machlokes regarding Agadah Dekoros in general. It's an important thing for the Nechara to know. There are two early Sfarim on Agadah. One is the Rasha, who's Lushe Agadah. His favorite Haggadah is printed in the back of the Gemara. And the second is the Maral, who has four volumes of Chibushei Haggadah. There is a fundamental difference of opinion between the two of them, and this argument is not like it's about the generation. Marsha holds that we are to take every Haggadah of the Gemara as literally as we can. To explain it literally, of course, there's some Haggadah style statements which cannot be understood literally. However, in general, Akadat Gemara should be understood literally. The Maral explains Akadat Gemara metaphysically, as Mishal, for example. The Gemara in Yerevan says that Pare was one Amatol. And the Maral there, they write, but of course he wasn't physically one Amatol. But it means that had his physical stature mirrored his stature in spirituality, he would have been, as the Gemara says, one Amatol, with a beard that's an Amatol. The mushroom was Gaiva, and Taiva, that was an Anima, as the Gemara says. The Maral explains it as a mushroom. The Marsha explains literally another example. The Gemara says that Vashti grew a tail. Marsha reads in the name of the Aruch. And she didn't literally grow a tail, but it means that she had certain physical ailments that made it not desirable to be shown in public. The Marsha brings the Aruch. He says, why does he say that? Why not just say it's a tail? So you see that there are these two sheaves. Matter of fact, in the Gemara, in the fifth parak of Bava Mastra, which tells the story of a bird that drops an egg that destroys six cities, the Marsha explains it derech Masha. But then he ends by saying, even though I believe this Gemara can be explained as a Masha, well, Yotzah Mitek Shuta, he can be explained literally as well. Both are true. But this is a general machlokes that we know, and the Bali Meshava in the Lithuanian world, the Nechtim Eliyahu especially, go with the Shita of the Maral. For example, the Nechtim Eliyahu explains that the Luzon, which is never destroyed, is not a physical bone. The Chassidish Sfarim in general go with the Shita of the Marsha, although there are some notable exceptions, even among the Chassidish Sfarim, people like Nikaska. But generally, they go with the Marsha Shita, the legitimate Shitas, of course, in the Birch Hazal. And the Maral and Rabban here reflect that. The Rabban who is, the Shaifa was burnt, and the Maral who writes in the language of amazement, that he told all the Rabban, the other volume, which is the Shaifa, is the Shaifa. This is an important idea in general for anybody who wants to learn. We move on to a third thought regarding Matan Torah. I'm not ready to cancer with this year. Maybe I'll come back to it in the session. HaNegev, Naseh HaNeseh Nishma. Each Jew receives two crowns, one for Naseh and one for Nishma. This is Gemara in Abbeishef. Rav Shor, in the Gedalion, Shor is Pei Aleph, has a wonderful insight. Why is it godless that the Jewish people send Naseh and then Nishma? Tashkos is the full explanation. Is that they send Naseh first, we will do. Even before they know what they had to do, they said Naseh first and Nishma second. Of course, this escalation is true, and it is a tremendous mila, tremendous praise of the Naseh of Bar Yisrael. Rav Shor, though, pointed out that it was a tremendous mila in the Nishma as well. How so? Because normally a person would think, we learn Torah to know what to do. Well, truly, we learn Torah to know what to do. But Bar Yisrael said Naseh the Nishma. Even if we know what we have to do, Nishma we will still go to learn. It's a tremendous mila, a tremendous level in a person's learning. Now we learn for the purpose of learning, not just for the purpose of knowing. And that's why there were two crowns. Had the learning been just for the purpose of knowing what to do, then there's only one crown you learn to know what to do when you do. Christ understood Naseh is one thing, Nishma is something else. And each one deserves its own crown. But to end, I'm offering you a question, but a different type of question. This is something which is up either to try to understand the thought of Malvam Gavu. In the Tachat Yitzchak, on Shavuos, in Ma'amach Avav, in parentheses, of Hutner writes the following words. I am Shnei Dibulei Rashi Yisrael. Look at these following two Rashis in Parshat Yisrael. The two Rashis are Perek Yitzchak of the Nalit. And Perek Chav Pasuk Yitzchak. It's Tzorach Ilan. Rashi seems to be, the Rav Hutner rather, seems to be saying that there is some sort of a contradiction between the Rashi, Perek Yitzchak plus the Nalit, and Perek Chav Pasuk Yitzchak. Fascinating to try to understand what Rav Hutner meant. We immediately see a connection between the two Rashi. In both places, Rashi is elaborating on the language of the Pasuk, Atem Re'isem. Pasuk Dalet, you have seen what I did in Mitzrayim. In Berak, Pasuk Yitzchak, you have seen what took place at Sinai. But one fails to see the contradiction between them. That is certainly a teaser, a good topic to the Shabbos table. With that, I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Kodesh.